Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Wendy James, and my pronouns are she, her, and my ancestors hail mostly from Scotland. I am the practitioner of the day, along with Leo Brody and, I think Francine Kitchen. So you can identify us by the stoles that we wear, and that indicates that we are available for prayer after service. So please don't hesitate to talk to us if you would like prayer or have questions. We also have a prayer vessel in the back of the room on the left side. If you would like to submit a prayer request, you can put it in the prayer vessel there, which is next to the forms. And we also have a prayer request online if you would like it to do it that way. So please join me in an opening prayer. I take this moment to pause, to breathe, to feel my feet grounded on this beautiful earth. I breathe it in, the knowing that all is well, all is good, and all is unfolding in divine right order. And I know that the one life force, the one power and the one love that is the very source and essence of all life. Call it what you will, but this life force, this spirit, is all there is. And it is operating in, through, and as all things and all beings. And this includes each and every one of us. For in spirit, nothing is left out, and no one is alone or separated. All belong to this tapestry of life, and all are unique expressions of the divine. For spirit is the life-giving, nurturing essence of love itself. I breathe in this love and allow it to grow and expand, opening my heart, filling me with love, peace, curiosity, and wonder. And with gratitude, I say, and so it is.
What if the most powerful force in the world is not politics? What if it's not economics? What if it's not technology? What if it's imagination? Not just individual imagination, but what if it's our collective imagination? The shared pictures about what humanity can become. History shows us something pretty interesting. Every transformation in society happened because a group of people imagined it to be so. Before there were civil rights laws, there were people imagining equality. Before the abolition of slavery, there were people imagining freedom for all. Before women and people of color had the right to vote, people were imagining that everybody Before environmental protections existed, people were imagining a world where our earth is cared for. Every transformation began when somebody asked the question a question like we're exploring this month. What if? What if? And I realize that imagination can be a little soft. Some people might think it's just daydreaming. But what if it's not daydreaming? But what if it's creating our future? What if imagination is actually one of the most powerful evolutionary tools that exist for humanity right now? Every bridge, every social movement, every symphony, every scientific discovery began with somebody imagining, what if it were so? What if this were possible? What else is possible? So, this is a question worth dwelling on. I want to thank the women's ministry and the men's ministry for asking the question and having conversations about it and dwelling in the question. The beauty of dwelling in the question is we don't need to have the answer. We just get to dream about the question. What if? And I'm curious, when people walk through the doors of this community for the first time, what do they feel? What is the collective energetic of this community? Is it a place of upliftment, of belonging, or is it a place of exclusion? What kind of people are we? What do we represent, and how do we express it in this community and out in the world? Because the emotional climate that we have here affects everybody. And we can be at cause of something extraordinary happening. All right, so as you are getting to know me, many of you know I love to do little exercises in the middle of service. So, if you are able, please stand. We'll try a little experiment together. Place both feet on the ground, get comfortable, take in a deep breath. Let your shoulders drop a little. And be aware of the presence of the people around you, not physically, but energetically. Can you feel energetically the people around you? Many people are tuned into this. If you're not, that's okay. Just sense the room. And imagine something with me. And if you're online, I want you to try it too. Just see if you can imagine something with me. Imagine a world that puts compassion first. Imagine a world where leaders lead with love. Imagine a place where dignity is inherent in how we treat people and doesn't have to be earned. Imagine a world where every person feels like they have worth, where everybody has a sense of belonging. Where in challenges, people lean in with curiosity. Imagine a world where people focus on the win-win-win, where everybody wins. Imagine a world where there's generous sharing of resources, where there's compassion and understanding, Imagine a world where every child knows that they belong and is loved. Just be in that possibility. How does the body feel when you're imagining this type of world? Notice what happens in your body, in your chest, in your shoulders. For most people, there is a softening, an opening, a grounding, a connecting. And know what you're experiencing now is not wishful thinking. It's your nervous system rehearsing the possibility. Neuroscience shows us that when we vividly imagine something, the brain activates many of the same neural pathways as when we experience it in real life. So thank you for being at cause of a new creation. You may be seated. So Ernest Holmes, he's this great guy. Wish I knew him myself, but I didn't. He's the founder of Centers for Spiritual Living. And he used to teach to thousands and thousands of people. People would come to his lectures from all around. He was a powerful orator. And he's not just the founder of our teaching, but also a synthesizer of the great religions and philosophy and psychology and science. He incorporated all of those things in his teaching, and he was a powerful dreamer of possibility. One of the things he said is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And he also taught that when many people hold the same thought, the creative power multiplies. So when a community like this gathers, the creative power of our intentionality and of our dreaming, it multiplies the possibility happening in actual life. We're at cause. The effect that's happening in the world right now, like what you actually see right now, is an effect of other people's imaginings. So what you're seeing is a complete effect, and in this moment is the opportunity to be at cause of a new effect. So sometimes, you might even understand this, that awareness, the atmosphere of awareness is contagious. Where we put our attention and awareness is contagious. And that means that what's going on inside of me doesn't necessarily stop with me. It transfers to those around me. So I get to pay attention to where I'm putting my focus and attention on. And as I put my focus and attention on possibility and on hope and on creating a new idea for the future, that's contagious. But so is fear and division. So the question is, where are you focusing? Now, I do see the fear and division. I do see that it's there. And how can I be a person of possibility in the midst of that? How can I be a bridge builder? How can I be a place of compassion? How can I be a place of curiosity and interest? And how can I be a place where what my imagination is a part of a huge movement that happens out in the world? The attitudes we carry can spread. The fear can spread. Cynicism can spread, but so can courage, compassion, love, and hope. All of that can spread. Ernest Holmes also said a small group of people thinking together in unity can become a tremendous power for good. He didn't say a million people. He said a small group of people thinking together can be a tremendous power for good. That's the kind of power I want to connect with, tune into, participate with. So that means that what we do here matters. What we create together matters. What we dream up together matters. And we can condition our bodies and our minds, just like we did today, for the possibility unfolding. That's how all great movements occurred. Movements start with a shared conviction, a shared belief, a shared dream. In India in the 1970s, in the Himalayan region, there was a group of loggers who decided they wanted to cut down a forest because they needed the trees. And there was a village nearby that was very connected to the trees. The women especially were very in tune with the forest. And when the loggers came in, now these women didn't have any political power. They weren't in politics. They had no authority in the world. But they didn't take that. They didn't say, oh, I don't have a political position in the world, so I can't make a difference. They banded together, and when they found out the loggers were coming, they all went and hugged the trees. They did. They all were hugging trees, and they said, if you want to cut these trees down, you have to cut through us. Interesting. When they did that, by the way, that became known as the Chipko movement. The word Chipko means to hug. So this was in the early 1970s. And they were the genesis, the beginning of an environmental movement in India that actually spread throughout the world. These women. Now, if I had said to a political consultant and said, well, this is the political strategy we're going to do, is we're going to hug trees. Especially back then when it was never done before, people would be like, yeah, that's a crappy strategy. We don't believe in you. And yet they didn't take that for an answer. They said, we're here. We're going to make a difference. And they started an international movement. Many sustainability laws were founded upon the genesis of what they created. So what is sacred? What is worth protecting? What is worth taking a stand for? Carl Jung believed that we participate in something called the collective unconscious. Basically, it's a shared environmental field that is underneath our conscious minds, and we're all connected to it. We might describe it a little bit differently, but it's very powerful to consider that we're all part of a collective consciousness, a collective awareness. And when we start telling stories about our culture and who we are, we can actually influence the reality and have things shift around who we are. We can start telling new stories. We can start dreaming new dreams. I have to say, I really love Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. because he stated his dreams publicly. His I Have a Dream speech is so powerful because we can look back at that now and go, wow. But in the time when he was stating that, it seemed like a far off possibility. Yet so many people were attracted to that dream. They were attracted to that idea of possibility that they joined together in awareness around that movement. That same thing happened with the suffragettes. When women wanted the right to vote, there had to be a dream, a possibility of what it could be. we're at the same choice point. We have to be in the place of dreaming what is possible and have a group agreement about this is what we would love to have. And then we take actions that are in alignment with our dreams. So are you taking actions that are reactions to the effect? Or are you taking actions to be at cause of a new reality? That's the big question. Think about all the things that have happened that are now just a part of our everyday life. You know, Jean Houston said, the future isn't something that happens to us, it's something we're remembering into being. Because we had to dream it first, and then we're remembering it into being. Again, ending slavery seemed impossible. Women, people of color voting, impossible. Interracial marriages, impossible. All of those things that we might take for granted right now happened because a group of people dreamed up a future of what they would love and made the impossible possible. I love switching the word from impossible to I'm possible. And the cool thing is if we start focusing on what we hope will happen, it makes a difference. Positive psychology proves this. They say when you focus on what you hope will happen, it expands your cognitive capacity. And when our cognitive capacity is expanded, new ideas come through, new possibilities come through. When people believe change is possible, creativity increases. When you believe that anything is possible, problem solving increases. When you start focusing on what you hope will happen, you become more capable of finding solutions. So that's the question. What are you thinking about? What future are you imagining together? And how can you participate in creating that future? That's where the collective energy of places like this exist. So I want to give you three small practices this week. The first, ask yourself every morning a single question. What if humanity is evolving towards a greater good, a greater compassion? What if I'm part of that evolution? Just sit with the question. The second, try a conversation experiment. And I have to say, where's Robert? Robert, there you are. Robert is asking these kinds of questions every Saturday. What kind of life would we hope humanity is evolving in? What if we were creating the more beautiful world that we felt were possible? Have those conversations. What would it look like? What would you love? What would you hope that humanity could evolve into? Have you asked somebody that recently? It might be an interesting coffee discussion. And the third thing to do is spend a minute every day visualizing a world that works for everyone. That seems like an impossible dream, but so did all of those other things. All those other movements seemed like impossible things to do. But they all were created because people imagined them into being. So today we explored three ideas. One, collective vision shapes our experience. Two, movement begins with shared belief. And three, what world are we rehearsing into being? Because vision shapes our experience, movements begin with shared belief, and the future is imagined before it ever exists. So what if we're creating it now? What if we could create it together in a new way? And what if each and every one of you is integral to bringing it into being. Let's pray. I am so grateful to be in the place of a powerful group of people. I'm so grateful to know that each and every person came for such a time as this. That what we create together makes an impact, creates ripples of possibility for the future. That who we are takes a stand for the power of love and compassion in the world. I'm so grateful to know that as I ask the questions, the universe creates things that seem impossible. Because if the universe, God, Source, the Infinite One, Goddess, created all that currently is, all of time, all of space, all of no time, all of no space, it might know exactly the right and perfect actions if we only asked the questions. And so I dwell in the what if of it. I dwell in the creation of it. I dwell in the possibility of it. And I know that as I do that, things unfold in a way that are inspiring, that lead me forward into a life of joy, a life of love, and a life of a compassionate humanity that creates a world that works for everyone. What if that were possible? I believe it is. And for that, I'm deeply grateful. I'm grateful for all of our participation of it, our imagination of it, and our stepping into alignment with it right here and right now. And so I let this prayer, this intention, this word go into that infinite law of creativity that always says yes and creates upon what I've imagined. I'm grateful, knowing it is already done. And I just get to be pulled into alignment with it every moment, every day, every step, every dream, every action, every activity. I choose to just say yes to it. And so it is.